Great. The rest of the afternoon, we're going to be just continuing that series, thinking about different parts of church life, and today thinking about reaching out locally. How does that shape the things that we do? I'm going to give out a handout to tables. If you happen to get a copy that says "My Notes" at the top, either just enjoy yourself or be so kind as to let me know that you've got it, and I'll find that helpful. If there are any winners out there, they're obviously keeping it quiet. Fine. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Okay. Good. Has everyone got sight of one? Fantastic. Okay. Well, let's just think. In this series, we obviously spent the last couple of weeks thinking particularly about what we would call the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. That was a bit of a pair, thinking about those parts of church life. This week and next week are also a bit of a pair, thinking about reaching out. So this week, thinking about reaching out locally, and then we'll come to next week, thinking about globally, the place that supporting global mission has in the life of the church, and John is going to be helping us with that. When we come to this session, I'm conscious it's a topic that we've talked quite a lot about this year. Really, this year we've been trying to think about why we try to reach out and how we might go about doing that. And that's been our vision for the year, making known among the nations what Jesus has done. So I'm not going to try and recap all of that, nor are we going to get into lots of very technical debates about any of those things. We don't need to. The hope this morning is just, this afternoon rather, is just to share a few thoughts about that and then to have some discussion and prayer together. We'll draw a little bit on things that we've covered over the year, though, and the quote at the top of the handout just might be familiar, at least to some. Right at the start of the year, we were thinking about how is it that the nations are going to come to know the things the Lord has done? And we were thinking a bit about the pattern in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament, that there is both a gathering in and a being sent out. And that being particularly true in the New Testament. So Tim Chester says that the nations no longer stream into a literal city of Jerusalem in the way that God spoke to Israel as it's calling to gather the nations to come up to Jerusalem, up to the temple. The nations no longer stream into a literal city of Jerusalem, but are drawn to the new Jerusalem, the church. So now mission involves a double movement. Jesus sends us out to the ends of the earth, and everywhere we go, we create communities of light that draw people in. It's a really helpful picture, I think, of what happens and what you see working out in Luke and Acts. You see, as the Spirit comes, as God's people are scattered and sent out into the world, and then what they do is they start churches, they start meeting together, and those communities become centers of light. You are salt and light in the world, Jesus says, and he's picking up a little on that idea that you are light and that draws other people in. So one just helpful thing to have in mind is that big pattern, that the church is sent out and gathered in, and gathers in, and that's always true. But then let's think for a moment about the rhythm of our week, how actually as a church what happens is that we gather on Sundays and then are scattered in the week. So we meet here on a Sunday morning and gather, and we've been thinking about the different things that we do when we meet. But then from as we go out this afternoon into the week, then we are scattered. We'll meet in home groups, we'll meet at coffee shop, we'll meet at youth group and different things. But for the most part in the week, we're scattered. So what I thought we'd do is just think a little bit about reaching out in both of those settings. How do we reach out as we gather together on a Sunday? And then how also do we think about that life as scattered in the week and before we gather again on the next Lord's Day? So gathered on Sundays. Let's remember that we do gather for many reasons. Some of you who were here a few weeks ago will remember these diagrams. Remind me, what do they mean? What are we doing on a Sunday? Can you remember any of those? Looking up. So, yeah, first one, looking up to God and worshiping him. So as we gather together, there is a sense in which we are worshiping God and we are giving him our praise. Fantastic. Thank you. Somebody else? Okay. And which diagram have you got in mind for that one? The second one, the down arrow. Okay. So not so much us, our eyes looking down, but rather we are also receiving from God. He is giving good gifts to us. He is speaking to us. He is feeding us with bread and wine. He is blessing us. So we are both giving praise, that first one, and we are receiving from our Father in heaven as we meet together. Third one, fellowship. Thank you. So that sometimes feels like a tumble dryer. So fellowship, that idea of also seeking to build one another up, and lots in the New Testament that speaks about the way that we are taught so that we can speak the truth in love to one another, the way that we meet and sing together, and so with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we encourage one another. So there is an important way in which we are building each other up. And then lastly, that thought that we are also reaching out even as we gather on a Sunday morning, that as we meet, we proclaim the Lord in our preaching and teaching, in the things that we sing, as we celebrate bread and wine together. If somebody here who's not a Christian, you have just seen a demonstration, a visual of what Jesus did for his people. His body was broken, his blood was poured out. And so in those ways, we are also witnessing as we worship. Let's think then a bit more, well, what does that mean for us? How does that shape what we do on Sundays? We're trying to remember that we're doing all of those things, so we don't just pick our favorite one of those and go all in on that and neglect the other bits. But given that one of the things that we do as we gather is to witness, how might that shape the way that we do things? I've got six things for us. First of all, that we want to be hospitable. We might have touched on this already, and we're going to come back and think a bit more about hospitality later in this series. But the word that the New Testament is using means love of the stranger. So we want to be loving towards those who are new, those who are strangers to us, so to be hospitable. What does that mean? That means giving a warm welcome on the door. Just being attentive to people who might have come in and find themselves sitting on their own. It might be just checking that they've got any questions and helping them understand what's going on, all of that part of hospitality. James 2 would be some verses to look at, thinking about how do we treat people as they come into the church. James will make the point about not just being hospitable, but also being impartial, not treating people differently depending on how they look or how they act or anything like that. In James in particular, he has in mind how you treat a rich person when they come in and you give them a seat of honor, and the poor person you tell them just to sit at the back. We might not do that, and those might not be the sorts of things that we that mean somebody gets a slightly warmer welcome or immediately introduced to more people than others. But we must be on our guard that as we welcome people, with the same impartiality that God has shown us. He's not picking a dream team. He hasn't arranged some sort of beauty parade. He has just shown mercy to those who don't deserve it, and because he's merciful. So we want to be hospitable and impartial. We want to be intelligible, and we want to make sure that the things that happen here are that people are able to understand them. So 1 Corinthians 14 particularly is talking about the difference in spiritual gifts between speaking in tongues and prophesying. And the difference for Paul is that prophesying is intelligible, that somebody could come in and understand what is being said and so fall down and worship and say, God is surely among you. And that's an argument in Paul's mind for the great blessing of prophecy, for understandable words that point to the Lord Jesus. But it's also an argument for order and structure, so that things aren't chaotic, but that there is some some intelligibility, some understandability to what's going on. So we want to be hospitable, we want to be impartial, we want to be intelligible. Three more things that I think flow out from those passages, but I'll just add them on top. First of all, accessible. In part, we've already said that. It must be understandable, so that we use words and vocabulary that's just easily understood, and so on. But in lots of other ways too, we just want to make sure that there's no barriers to people being able to come. Part of that is making sure that anyone with disabilities is able to access the building and isn't discriminated against or prevented from playing a full part in the life of the church, being able to do everything that we reasonably can to make that possible. It's why I'm really thrilled that we have songs that are signed on a Sunday. It is a way of saying that we care and want to make sure that our worship together is as accessible as possible. So accessible, thinking about people with particular different needs and making sure that we think that through carefully. Weird. It's also important that we are weird. Let me explain what I mean. What happens on a Sunday ought to lead somebody to say, surely God is at work amongst you. That when we strive for intelligibility and accessibility, we're not doing anything that would make somebody stand back and think, I've got no idea what's going on or what they're talking about. Because what we're talking about is a man dying for our sins and raising from the dead and coming again in glory. We believe in one God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're not going to shy away from saying any of those things because that's just central to what we believe and what we do. Some people might say, I made a mistake first thing this morning. At the start of the service, don't start talking about the Trinity straight away. That's far too complicated. No one will understand it. We shouldn't talk about those things until maybe the Sunday afternoon or maybe in home groups. But I want to be really clear. We believe in Father, Son, and Spirit. We believe that somebody died for our sins and was raised from the dead. That's going to sound weird to people, and that's okay. It's a point that Tom Holland, the historian, has been making recently. His message to churches that he often gives is basically, don't try and tell people the things that they already know and think, because that seems relevant. Ben was saying this morning the danger that we think the church must chase after relevance. And as Tom Holland listens to things like Thought for the Day, he doesn't hear anything very often that's distinctively Christian at all. What we want to try and do is to set out the truth of the gospel for that to be weird. Ideally, not for too many other things to be weird, but for that to be strange to people. And then to give space and time for people to ask their questions. We are glad, praying for unbelievers to be amongst us, and as best as we can and as intelligible as we can, we're going to be distinctively Christian in the things that we celebrate and talk about. And then lastly, porous. Porous isn't a very accessible word, and I did look up other words for porous, and I was offered absorbent and spongy, and I thought that doesn't make much sense either. All I mean by porous is that we don't kind of close the doors because really what we just want is Christians in here. We want and expect and pray that there are non-Christians coming along regularly, and that our community is a community where it's actually relatively easy as it can be, to come in, to sit at the back, just try and make sense of this and be part of it without being made to feel like you stand out or don't really belong here. Trying to think, how do we do that? How do we make people feel at ease? How do we make sure that we don't just kind of stand around and glare because they don't know exactly what you're supposed to do at every moment of a service? That's fine. People aren't going to know and understand that, and that's absolutely okay. Being relaxed about those kinds of things is going to communicate something important. So as we gather on Sundays, we are wanting to recognize there is an opportunity Sunday by Sunday to witness. Those are some of the things that I think we want to have in mind. Just pause there for any kind of questions, reflections. Anything you want to ask off the back of that? Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think there are a number of people for whom sitting at the back is for really good and understandable reasons, the way that they can best engage with what's happening on Sunday. So we need to be kind of flexible about that, but it's fair to say that's a long back row there, and it's a really good space for people who are feeling like, I don't quite know what's going on here, and it's not quite a kind of observation deck, but it's a space where you can actually just sit there and see what's going on and not be seen. I love the layout of this building for that. It does actually create that space. So yes, all other things being equal, I think making sure that at 1:30 there are still some spaces that somebody can come in, see that there's some room, and a steward can easily help them to that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, George. Yeah, thank you. That's that is a tricky one, I think, where one of the kind of classic examples is, here I raise my Ebenezer, and lots of people just don't know their Bibles well enough to know what that's a reference to and what that's supposed to mean, and most of us probably just sing it thinking, I've no idea what this means, but I know that we sing it at this point. There are some bits that, yeah, Christians as well as non-Christians just don't really know what's going on there. Particularly thinking about times when we're expecting lots of non-Christians to be in. At a baptism service around Christmas, that's going to be really at the forefront of our thinking. How can we make sure that these things communicate something helpfully to people? At the same time, one of the things that Songs is going to do is actually help us all learn a bit more Christian vocabulary. There is something of a kind of Christian language to learn and concepts which we're going to be introduced to, and Songs will sometimes introduce us to those words. Hopefully songwriters aren't trying to explain what the words mean that they use, because that makes a strange song. So there's sometimes opportunity as service leaders to give a word of explanation and to help with that. I think it's definitely something we want to have in mind. There are particular times in the year when I think we want to be especially mindful of that. Thank you. Other reflections on that or other things? Yeah, Helen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I've got that in mind, particularly towards Christmas, as we sing some of these things. Very God, begotten, not created. There is wonderful, actually very important Christian truth behind those. As we finish Galatians and move into Christmas, we're going to spend a bit of time looking towards Christmas as a church family, thinking about the incarnation. And one of the things I want to do is take some of those Christmas lyrics and actually help us all understand them a bit more and enjoy them. So, thank you. Good. Okay. Let's come on to thinking a little bit about how we go scattered into the week. Where is the church on Monday morning? It's not at 198 Woodstock Road. It is scattered. The church is scattered in the week. I want to recognize that and reflect a little bit on that with you. Just a few thoughts, trying to say something new in a year where we've been thinking a lot about this. First of all, confidence in providence. Providence, the idea that God has determined the times and places in which we live, and that he has placed each one of us in different relationships and different settings. I want us to take real confidence in that thought, because it will help us in a few ways. It will help us not to think, I should be like them. And I should have all of their opportunities, or I wish I had all of their opportunities and their setting. God has placed us where he has placed us, and to trust him with that. Whether that means that we find there are lots of opportunities to speak about Jesus, or we find that as much as we pray and try as we might, there aren't lots of opportunities to speak about Jesus. It might be that you are mostly home on your own in the week. It might be that you are home with very young children in the week. It might be that for other reasons, there aren't lots of opportunities in all of that. So confidence in providence helps us, I think, know that God is not, frankly, disappointed that we're not out there a bit more. He has placed us where he's placed us, and to trust that. One other thought around the providence is that having placed us where he has placed us, for many of us, there are opportunities. There are particular relationships that we have been born into and we have in our life that nobody else has. For those of us whose parents are still alive, you are the only person amongst you and your siblings who relate to that person as son or daughter. If you have children, you are the only father or mother to those children. And so there are particular relationships that God has placed us in, friends that we have along the way. And I think to lean into that and to think, God gives us an opportunity to pray for those people in a way that other people aren't going to be praying for them, and where we have opportunity, seeking to speak to them. We don't often, I think, put mission and God's providence together, but I think it does teach us something about contentment and trust in the situation that he's put us in, and thinking, what opportunities do I then have that really nobody else has in quite the same way? Might be something to reflect on. Then, not supporters of mission, but participants in mission. Listening to a talk this week where somebody was talking about this dynamic of the church gathering and then the church scattering. And he was describing church prayer meetings that he used to organize that focused on the things that the church did, the events that it was putting on. And he realized that in those prayer meetings, what was happening is that church members were being encouraged to think of themselves as supporters of mission. The church organizes stuff, and your job is to support it and bring people to it and pray for it, pray for the things that we're doing. And he realized there was a way of flipping that completely around and giving prayer meetings over to what are people going to be doing in the week and their actual opportunities to be witnessing and serving. And let's understand a little bit more about what people find hard about that, what people find easy about that, but to pray for them in all the texture of that, the different sorts of things that people will be doing in the week. Helping us all think of ourselves not as supporters of mission, it's something that somebody else does, they organize an event, and so on, but instead being participants in it. That involves, I think, a change of mindset for us as leaders too. That we, if anything, are in that role of supporters, trying to equip and help you to be scattered in the week, to go and to live for the Lord Jesus in that way. Pendulum doesn't want to swing massively so that we say we're going to cancel all events. I think events still have a kind of helpful role. It means that people can witness Christian community. It means that people can come and ask their questions and hear God's word. So there's still a place for events. But as we go out, that's a shift in mindset that I want to try and go through myself. Persevering in prayer and witness, just an encouragement, I think, to keep going in all of this, and to recognize for most situations of witness, these things take time. One example of that, just chatting with Marilyn this week, I'm talking about a lady who came to Stepping Stones with her children several decades ago, came along more recently, reconnected, coming along to some of the Summertown talks that we held in the summer, now just starting to come along a little bit more to Stepping Stones, and just very slowly and patiently relationships building and friendships forming. Just encouraging you to persevere in prayer, and witness. There are lots of stories amongst us of people who've been prayed for decades, and wonderfully, in God's timing, coming to faith. What we'll do in the last little while, just on tables, I'd love to just start a conversation about how we send you out better and encourage you for that thought of being scattered in the week and making the most of the opportunities that the Lord provides. Remember, we're not going to completely rewrite what Sunday looks like because there are other things we're trying to do on a Sunday. We're worshiping the Lord. We're hearing from him. We're building each other up. But I'd love to know how Sundays or other ministries could be better helping you to go out and participate in that mission, recognizing that's the pattern. We gather and then we scatter. So on tables, why not kick around that that question for 5 minutes or so? Thank you.
Done. All right.
All right, let's come back together. One table at least has announced that they're done. All questions answered. So we look forward to learning from them. Anything particularly striking, helpful, things you heard on your tables? We'd just love to hear what reflections you had. Why don't we start with this table? Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good. Yeah, gladly. So just the memory verse for the year has been helpful for us all to know that's our task, to make known among the nations around the people and the people that we meet. Good. Yeah, I think one thing, please, to be praying through this next year is that we just keep up the momentum in the just individually, the efforts that we've made, the ways we've been praying, that we are sustained into next year. Yeah, great. Thank you. Other things? Yeah. Thank you. Great. Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. One of the things that we might think is the best way to equip people to be scattered in that week is to give them lots of tips and training and kind of able to analyze people's worldviews and things. And actually, one of the things that I pray for Sunday by Sunday is that we would be refreshed again in the gospel. We would go out with just hearts that are a little more full of the knowledge of God's love, of a reminder of his purposes for his world, and that those things would, you know, put strength in every stride, as we sang earlier on. And yeah, great. Thank you. Indeed. Yeah, good. Thank you. If please just let us know about that. If there are ways to either just informally say, I've got some colleagues, it's hard to get them to anything on a Sunday, but they might go for a drink after work, and I could invite a couple of friends from church along and just mix and meet that way informally. Not everything has to kind of come through church as a kind of center. But if there are ways that we can help with that, if there are times in the week that would be much easier, one of the dangers for us, I think, is that as church leaders, you slightly forget and lack imagination for what the opportunities are that are yours. And we slightly fixate on, well, these are the things that we're organizing, so they must be the things to pray about, rather than thinking about all of the things that you guys are about in the week. And we just need to get better at that. Let me just encourage us to go on in that thought of prayer. I would love it if those different things that we're aiming for on Sundays, that you would just be praying for, that we would be praying for. Let's pray particularly for the welcome team. It is such an important ministry of the church. I am so, so grateful for those who serve in that way, because that first encounter, that first welcome is so important. Let's pray for that ministry. Let's pray that in all those other ways we would be making progress with the Lord's help. As we finish, let's just wrap up by thinking about worship and witness. That's been the title of this series, Worship and Witness, the Basics of Church Life. We haven't really stopped to ask yet what worship and witness have got to do with each other. What are those two words? What we said this week is two things, I think, that that first of all, our worship here on a Sunday is witness, okay? Worship is witness. And we pray that as we meet, those who come along would come to know the Lord for themselves. So worship is witness. But then also worship serves witness. It equips us for witness. Let's be praying that the fruit of a Sunday is that we go out with hearts more filled and excited by the gospel, and as well equipped and helped to speak to our friends about Jesus in ways that they will understand, in ways that will connect, whether or not they've heard of Eric Cantona. Let me lead us in a prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the privilege of belonging to your people. And Father, thank you for the ways that you bless us and have blessed us today as we gather. And Father, thank you for a chance to hear from you through your word. And thank you that we have heard you speak to us today. And Father, thank you for a chance to celebrate who you are, to sing your praises, to take bread and wine together. Thank you for all these good gifts. And Father, thank you for a chance to worship you, to be a bit more in our right minds, to say, you are our God, you are our only hope, to cast our cares on you. And Father, thank you for the goodness of today. And Father, we pray that please those who've been amongst us who don't know you, that it might have been a witness to them, that they might be a little closer now than they were. And please go on drawing people here. But Father, too, we also want to pray that you would help us as we go from here, as we are scattered into our weeks. Please help us to remember your providence, that you have placed us in those places. Thank you that that means that you are not disappointed with us, but you have placed us in those particular settings. Help us, we ask, to make the most of those and to serve the Lord Jesus in our week and to make that our prayer and to encourage one another with those things, that we might participate in that great call to make known among the nations what you have done. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Good to see you, and look forward to seeing you next week.